The House approves the AgriReady County program with tripartisan support. How exciting is that?
Pretty exciting. This was my bill, House Bill 882, that would incentivize counties that were agriculture-friendly in the state, meaning that they don't have ordinances or statutes more restrictive than the state statutes in regards to animal agriculture, a lot of setback distances, permit fees, things like that. Just an opportunity for counties to work with the Department of Ag and promote agriculture in their counties.
Now, you're talking about those restrictions and requirements. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about those?
Yeah, 19 counties in Missouri have county health ordinances where they have standards that are more strict for purposes of what they call health and safety of the community. And we don't want to not allow local counties to have county health ordinances if they feel that it's necessary. So this doesn't penalize counties if they have county health ordinances. We're just trying to promote the counties who want to bring those type of businesses in, whether it be a processing plant. The governor had a beef summit in January trying to come up with ways to produce more agriculture in Missouri, and this would be an opportunity for businesses to come into Missouri, the Department of Ag specifically, and say, where can we set up shop? And we know this county wants us to come. They're not going to fight us. They'll work with us to do what needs to be done so we can grow the economy in these counties.
Now, it passed in the House. How do you think it's going to do in the Senate?
Senator Munslinger from he represents Sheridan County and most of Northeast Missouri. He is going to handle the bill. In the Senate, it will go to his agriculture committee in the Senate. One part of the bill is that AgriReady counties, if they are designated as AgriReady, they get a 5% bump in grant applications through the state of Missouri, through Department of Agriculture, Department of Natural Resources, and Department of Economic Development. So I think there may be a little bit of pushback on that end. I've talked to the governor's office, and they've got a few concerns with that. So we've got a little bit of work to do on the bill to make sure everybody's comfortable. But when you get 115 votes in the House and you have members of the Democrat Party and our lone independent vote for it, I think there's a lot of support for it here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so moving on to the next section here. Budget bills have moved to the conference.
Right.
What sort of things are, if you're allowed to speak about that, I don't know if you are, what sort of pushback, like you were saying, are you seeing on those bills?
So basically the bills, when the House approves the budget first and we send it over to the Senate, does their version of the budgets, a lot of times there are differences. So we always vote to send it to conference where representatives from the House on the Budget Committee and senators from the Senate Budget Committee, they meet and try to work out the differences. So that's what they're doing right now. We're about 3 weeks early on the budget this year because of Amendment 10 that was passed by the voters last November that gives the legislature the authority to override the governor's veto and withholds of money in the budget for the next fiscal year. So we're trying to get the budget out early, so if the governor does withhold or veto funds that we've approved for fiscal year 2016, that we can override those vetoes while we're still here until May 15th. So we're working at a faster pace. The biggest differences that were made was that the Senate cut approximately $130 million from the budget, of which they increased K-12 funding and higher education funding by quite a bit. So the other big thing they did in House Bills 11 through 13, which is the social welfare programs of the state, they cut several items in there. And I think that's the position of the House, that we're trying to hold our position, not to make such drastic cuts. We think that the system needs to be reformed. There needs to be changes in these areas, but we're not sure we want to cut it like the Senate has done. So there are some differences we're trying to work out, the budget committee's trying to work out, and hopefully we can get that done this week.
Now, the last piece I want to talk to you about is House Bill 384, passed the House, passed the Senate, and it is on the way to the governor's desk. What are you guys looking at there?
The tax amnesty bill, we've passed out of the House every year since I've been here, and it's normally gotten held up in the Senate, and they passed through this year. Basically, this would allow a one-time opportunity for individuals in the state who may be delinquent in their state tax to pay all of what they owe and not have to pay a penalty. It would generate about $60 million in new revenue of which most of that, the $130 million in additional revenue that the Senate created, this was part of that. So, you know, frees up a little bit of money to hopefully spend on some projects and infrastructure that we really need. Don't want to start any new programs with it because, again, it is a one-time revenue generator. So I think that's a good thing. You know, we don't want to give people a long time to pay their taxes if they're delinquent. But in certain circumstances, I think if we can give them the opportunity to pay and not have to pay a large penalty, it will encourage a lot of folks to pay that. And, you know, you hear a lot about local municipalities who have court cases that are delinquent. There are warrants on people, and they, you know, they basically give amnesty to those folks if they'll come in and pay the tickets. And normally that's a successful program for local municipalities and counties. So this is something, if we can do on a statewide level and get people to pay their taxes, that's a good thing.